is after them, but it's Faheen who's bounding clear up the hill, and he is a machine. Faheen maintains his unbeaten record, and it's a treble for Willie Mullins and Remy Walsh. Faheen's a champion. Arctic
any doubt that it's going to be a magnificent hat-trick in the race for the Willie Mullins train for Vega, and a treble on the day for Ruby. He didn't have to move a muscle.
And welcome along to the very first edition of our Countdown to Cheltenham. Yes, I, Tom Nugent, I'm in the company of Mr. Ruby Walsh and Frank Hickey. And over the course of the next few weeks in the run-up to the festival in March, we will get together in midweek to have a long-range look at some of the main events taking place at Prestbury Park. In this week's edition on the Countdown to Cheltenham, we'll be looking at the novice hurdles, namely the Supreme, the Ballymore, and the Albert Bartlett. So without further ado, gents, thank you very much for joining me three times a week now. We get to get together and have a chat. And we're gonna make this a habit, just the three of us. Paddy's not invited. We're gonna have a nice long range look at the festival. Really excited, really looking forward to it. Are you?
Like, I know I'm a former jockey and I got plenty of falls and a couple of bangs on the head, but I could have swore we had a go at this last week as well. Now, maybe I'm wrong, like, did we just make a hash of that one and we're starting again afresh or something? But now maybe it's just all them concussions catching up with me.
No, I'd say it must be the concussions, I'd say. No, this is definitely the launch of our new series, the Countdown to Cheltenham. Really look forward to it. And Frank, you've crunched all the numbers. You're going to give us the value, aren't you? The long-range value. What are your... Have you got any basic principles to anti-post punting that people maybe need to watch out for? What the name of the game, I suppose, is backing big prices that shorten up. Is that it?
That's it. You know, I got lambasted at Christmas for saying that was the name of the game, didn't I, in our Christmas edition? But, you know, I suppose I was talking to one of the lads, just one of my brothers, the day before yesterday was into racing. And, like, when I'm back in anti-post, you know, I'm looking for a big price horse that I think are going to shorten considerably rather than, you know, back in 2-1 shots that might be 11-8 on the day. That's just the way I go about it. But, yeah, that's what I'm hopefully going to do for this series as well.
Ruby, we're still a good few weeks away from the festival, but in the life of a jockey who is, I know we've spoken about scratching around for rides and that ship has sailed now at this stage, but what is kind of the life of a jockey like now? Is the pressure starting to build, or is it still kind of business as usual?
But no, it's not. It's way too far away, Tom. You have the Dublin Racing Festival. You've the Betfair Hurdle Meeting Trials Day in January. Tiestes Chase, Red Mills Cards in Goran Park. Just way too much between now and Cheltenham for any jockey to be thinking about March. You're not thinking about that until maybe a week, 10 days out, where your focus turns to Cheltenham. It's just too much action, and there's too much to concentrate on, too many horses you have to ride between now and then to be even contemplating what's going to happen in 8 weeks' time. And the reality is, as a jockey, you realise that A, you mightn't get there, and B, there's going to be some high-profile horses go missing between now and then. So there's no point in making plans that aren't going to be solid. So jockeys, they're just tipping along, thinking about tomorrow, thinking about next weekend, what's going to happen on the 16th of March. It's pretty irrelevant to them.
Frank, at the time of recording, Paddy Power are the only firm still to be non-run, no bet on anti-post markets. Have they been busy? What has the anti-post business been like for Paddy Power?
Yeah, the tip away. Of course, we're non-runner money back, Tom.
Sorry, how dare I? Apologies.
Yeah, they're tipping away. Like, I suppose you see, you know, a lot of people playing on horses that, you know, might win, say, this weekend, and then shorten up considerably. And then if they don't win, they're not going to run. You know, that type of business. But they've been very lively. Like, Cheltenham just catches the imagination. Like, we're putting up specials every day of, like, doubles and trebles, and they're just really popular. People are consumed by Cheltenham. And, yeah, it's very brisk.
Lovely stuff. Well, without further ado, let's get down to business. The first race we're going to look at is the curtain raiser, the traditional curtain raiser at every Cheltenham Festival. It's the Supreme Novices Hurdle. And can I ask you a question, Ruby?
Go on, Tom.
The Cheltenham roar. Can you hear it at the start?
Can't say I ever did, no. I can't say I ever did. And last year was the first year, obviously, in years I was there working. And I was working for ITV, so I was behind the grandstand in the parade ring. And I didn't think it was anything untoward about the Cheltenham roar from that side of the grandstand. Maybe if you're on the front side, you might see it, you might hear or feel it way more. But no, when you're at the bottom of the home straight in Cheltenham at the 2 mile start, that's a distant din in the background. But no, the helicopters are louder at your side of the start, more so than the Cheltenham roar.
The clip. The pace in a Supreme often seems to be, I don't know, maybe because it's the first race of the week, it seems to be absolutely helter-skelter. Is there much, what is it like down at the start? Are tensions pretty high? A lot of pressure on, everyone wants a winner for the week. It's much easier to get that winner if you can get it early doors. People are kind of bullying to be handy.
I wouldn't say bullying to be handy, but yeah, everyone is, I suppose, excited, revved up, and people are very keen to get in the right position. But or try to get into the right position. And you say the pace could be strong. Not necessarily the pace. I think that everyone wants to get a good start and no one wants to get on the back foot with their bosses or their trainer by making a mistake in the first. So everyone is anxious to get out and get going. But often it can be frantic to the first, but can then steady up because not that many are intent on making the running. They're all going to kind of want to be behind the pace, and that can leave somebody in front doing things the way they want to do it.
Lovely stuff. As we record, Appreciate It is the 9-4 favourite for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. Metier is 6-1. Third Time Lucky is 12s. Boot Hill is 12. Sir Gerhard is 14s. We've got the odd horse that probably won't run here. Bear Gills is in their 14s alongside Brave Man's Game and Flinter Sacra and Bally Adam. Bob Ollinger is there at 14s as well. Kilcrut is 16s. My Drogo as well. Blue Lord. There's a whole host of names, and we're still at that stage when figuring out what's going to show up in the Supreme is tricky enough in its own right. Ruby, I suppose we'll start with Appreciated. Of course, trained by Willie Mullins and looks a worthy favourite on what he's done so far this season. How is he?
He's in great form, Tom. Obviously, people, including myself, might have thought he was a Ballymore horse at the start of the year, but obviously, you know, the way the yards progress and other horses in the yard dwindle. And it appreciated looks to me Willie Mullins is a supreme horse now. Now, arguably, Tom, the form of his maiden hurdle in Cork, where he beat Master McShee, is stronger than his Grade 1 performance in Leopardstown, where he beat Irascible. I mean, Irascible was the second string of Henny de Bromhead's when he beat Decimation in a maiden hurdle in Clonmel. And he's the horse that finished second in Leopardstown. Bally Adam obviously underperformed. So it was a really good performance. He showed he has the pace to win over two. You know he has the stamina to go further. He won a 2.5 mile bumper. He's a good jumper. He ticks all the right boxes. And at 9-4, not so sure there's much value there, because come the day and with the way that betting organisations operate, they're going to want to take him on in the first or take him on or whatever it is they do. They're going to want to try and get people's business on the first day of Cheltenham, and I don't see Appreciated being a whole lot shorter come the day than he is now. Now, Frank will probably correct me and tell me, yeah, he could be, but I just think that the Supreme is definitely the race where you seem to get value on the day, and I don't know why.
I think your main point is probably right. It's bookmakers kind of climbing over each other to try and get people in with them early doors with a long 4 days ahead of them. But there's an option for Appreciated to run in a couple of weeks at the Dublin Racing Festival. Is it likely we'll see him there?
Yeah.
Or is it? Yeah.
Yeah, he's only had the two runs, and that would have been kind of a well-trodden path for Willie's horses to run in January. Some of them ran in the Moscow Flyer, but others would have ran at the Dublin Racing Festival in the Chanel Pharma. It used to be over 2.2, it's now over 2 miles. Yeah, I think that's a well-trodden path for Willie Mullins' horses going to the Supreme, and I don't see why Appreciated wouldn't follow that road.
He's maybe a little bit older than the average Supreme novice horse. He's seven, and 7 year olds maybe don't have a great record in the race. I think I've heard you say on many occasions stats are there to be broken. Captain Seabee was the only 7 year old to have won it in the last 24 renewals. Is that a concern? Not really.
Not really. I suppose he came a different path, really, point to point. As a 4 year old, ran bumpers 5-6, goes hurdling 6-7. No, it's just the progression of his life. I mean, spending a year in bumpers wasn't an option for Duvan, Vatour, horses like that. But it appreciated was probably later start than the likes of Alpha Off or Champagne Fever, who were bumper horses as well. But and Noland, he just started a year later than they did.
We've heard a couple of times over the last number of years that the Champion Bumper getting a bad rap as a race that maybe empties young horses. But on what we've seen so far, you can't say it's had any kind of major effect on Appreciated anyway.
No, you can't. But that every different races can be different in different years. So maybe there's been the odd ordinary renewal of the Cheltenham Bumper. Likewise, when you look at the Supreme that Somerville Boy won, it's hardly a vintage renewal. But that's people aren't going to point a finger at the Supreme and say, oh, that race does X, Y, and Z to horses. I think when champions don't come out of a bumper, you think, oh, the bumper's doing this, that, and the other to them. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think a lot of good horses have won the Cheltenham Bumper, but that doesn't mean that there's very good horses every year running it. There's not champions don't keep coming along. Champions are very rare, and I'd say last year's renewal might have been quite strong with Fernie Hollow and Appreciated.
Frank, Appreciated will no doubt be a very popular favourite, especially if he was to do the business at the Dublin Racing Festival for the Supreme Novices Hurdle. What's the book looking like from a trader's perspective in terms of risk? Who's the biggest loser at the moment? And have you taken much at big prices about Appreciated for the Supreme?
Funny enough, so we have two books. We have our Antipost book, which would have been up to the first week of February before we win non-runner money back. In the Antipost book, our two worst losers are Flinter Sacra and Bally Adam. Obviously, Flinter Sacra had a bit of a big reputation being, is he a half or a full bird? It's Sprinter Sacra and Bally Adam's bubble burst at Christmas. But since we've got non-runner money back, our worst results are Master Maxi and Ganathaby off the back of the weekend, I think, where people were speculating that they'd, you know, win the Moscow Flyer and shorten considerably. Now, Master Maxi, I think people were backing that at 40 non-runner money back, which is probably a very fair price when you consider he's probably given Appreciated his best race so far. I think he's only into 20 now. Ganapathy ran okay in the Moscow Flyer, probably was just a little bit too close to the pace, and the Real Deal picked it up. They were finishing very slowly. Appreciated then. Most of the Antipost money we've laid on that's actually been for the Ballymore. We did lay a bit at 16-1. That was the initial price we put in for the Supreme last March, and we didn't have to cut that until just before Christmas when it was looking likely that he'd be declared for the 2 mile race at Christmas, and we cut it to 12 then. But yeah, looking at the way it is at the moment, you'd be fairly happy with that that Antipost book.
And in terms of the Supreme as a race to make a book in, it hasn't been the best race in the world for favourites in recent history, even though we have had some skate in at short prices as well not so long ago. But would I appreciate it strike you as maybe a favourite that could be one to take on?
Look, it depends. Like, it's probably too far out to know yet. Like, you know, you just don't know what the English novices are going to be like. Like, if Appreciated goes and wins in a similar fashion at the Dublin Racing Festival, you imagine he's going to be, you know, anywhere between 5-4 and 6-4. Obviously, you will get bigger on the day, as Ruby's already alluded to. Like, you'll have bookmakers kind of fighting over business and giving offers and et cetera, and, you know, betting to tight margins. I wouldn't say the Supreme's a race, though, where you get a turn up either. Like, just the SP of those 5 years where the favourite beaten was 6-1, 6-1, 9-1, 25-1, and 4-1. And of course, the 25-1 was LeBake. And if you go by Twitter, he should have went off about 4-1 because everyone was on him. But like, yeah, you know, you're still not looking too far beyond the obvious in the Supreme either, you know? And the favourites have finished in those 5 years, fourth, fourth, 11th, second and second. The 11th was Get a Bird, where he just didn't really go left-handed, did he? So, like, you know, the favourites haven't been too far away either at the same time. So, yeah, like, it'll depend what happens between now and then. I think you couldn't be saying appreciate the favourite that we'd want to be really competitive on until you see what way it's shaping maybe the week beforehand, you know, when you have a lot more information. At the moment, you just kind of react to what's happening and react to the cash you see.
Lovely stuff. Ruby, I think it's pretty fair to say that trying to guess what Willie Mullins is going to do with horses is pretty fucking hard to do. couldn't think of a more elegant way to put it. But
what about a fruitless exercise?
Yeah, there you go. That's why you're in broadcasting and I'm just a mug. But anyway, in terms of other potential runners for Willie here, Blue Lord maybe.
Yeah, Ronan Nace was a bit keen, but kept going well over 2.5 behind Bob Olinger. Would he drop back or stay at that trip? I don't really know, Tom, is the honest answer. We'd probably know more come the Dublin Racing Festival, whether he drops down to 2 and takes on Appreciated, or does he stay up in trip to take on Galliard de Menil and Statler over 2.6 miles. They're the possibilities. The real deal, obviously, Ronan McNally kind of hinted yesterday that he was thinking about going to the Ballymore with him, and he came from a long way off a very strong pace in the Moscow Flyer, so you could easily see why he wants to go back up and trip with him. I could see why anyway. But outside of that, for Willie's horses, no, I think the fillies will more than likely go to the Mayor's Novice Hurdle. The juveniles will stay in the Triumph for the Fred Winter division, and I suppose Micromanage maybe. Horse with a big reputation that got beaten and maiden at Christmas, he'd look to have to improve a lot to even get on the boat to go. So he'd have to go and win the next time before he'd be there. But look, I'd say looking at Willie's, it's Appreciated, and I don't think Paul Hill is going to have a difficult decision to make.
Can I ask you a broader question, Ruby, about, you say he'll have to do improve a good bit to get his place on the boat. And I know this probably varies a lot from individual horses and their intended target, but what exactly would a novice have to do for Willie Mullins to consider? Because he's not afraid to run one at a big price. We all know that. What would a novice have to do in Willie Mullins' eyes to kind of maybe earn a spot? And we all know, obviously, what they're doing at home is maybe more of a guide, but
it could end up down as simple, Tom, as they travel in loads of 8, and if he had 14 fancied one and 2 empty spaces, one you might be thinking shouldn't be going, could be thrown on to fill up the load. It could boil down to as simple as that, and Joe Cullen was one of those. You know, an empty stall in the back of the horse box, and Joe Cullen got fired on to win the bumper. But look, they'd have to be working well, and so, something like Micromanage, you'd imagine he's going to have to run again. He ran on Stan Stevens's day; he'd be running again between now and the cutoff to go, really. So if he were to go and win, Willie would be thinking he's 2 rows that runs over hurdles. If he's won well, he would be going. But he'd have to go and win his maiden hurdle. If you got beaten a second maiden, could you really justify bringing him to Cheltenham? It's different if he'd never ran, you could say the potential is there. But when you're running, don't win a maiden and have 2 goals in a maiden, it's probably hard to see why you could be going.
That's amazing. Sorry about Joe Cullen. Frank, what is the best of the UK challenge? I think we're probably guilty, all three of us being based in Ireland, of focusing on horses trained in Ireland and running in Ireland on a regular basis. But you are a number cruncher by nature and looking across all the UK racing. What have you made of some of the UK contenders this year? Obviously, Metier looked impressive. We've got third time Lucky Boot Hill, a couple of other names at bigger prices in there. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it's interesting. Metier, look, you couldn't knock him. Very useful on the flat for Andy Slattery, rated 88. He's 3 over 3 over hurdles, 1 easy at Newton Abbott and Ascot, and then followed up in the Grey 1 Tolworth. And Newton Abbott, he beat 1 upmanship, who's rated 123 over hurdles now, was second in a nice handicap at Wincanton last week. So that's useful for him. Ascot, he can see the penalty to Tile Tapper, who finished third in a nice Cheltenham bumper, one of which My Drogo was 7 lengths ahead of Tile Tapper in second. And then the Talbot, I don't think it was a very strong renewal, but he won well, to be fair, and the time compared very well to the other two hurdle races on the card, including a decent handicap. The one thing I would say is, if the ground came up genuine good to soft, there'd be a small question mark. All his wins have been on soft and heavy going. And Sandown can be a little bit tricky when it comes to times where horses can run big times but don't seem to replicate it quite a bit. Fiddler on the Roof being one again who won in a decent time in last year's Talworth in what looked a relatively weak renewal also, and he couldn't really back it up at Cheltenham. Metier, I think he's short enough at the price he is now. He's going for the Betfair hurdle. It'll be a big ask to win. I think his mark is about one, roughly around the 150 mark. Be a big effort to win the Betfair hurdle from that. If he did win the Betfair hurdle off that sort of mark, he would nearly be challenging appreciated for favouritism. But he wouldn't be one I'd be massively keen on. Then third time lucky, the best of the bumper horse, the British bumper horses last year, finished fourth, beaten six lengths in the champion bumper. Won his first two hurdles, starts to talk to him Wetherby relatively easily. Beaten in second behind for Pleasure in the grade two, in the grade two Supreme Trial in November, Cheltenham. Given an awful lot to do that day. Held up way off the leader for Pleasure, who just didn't stop out in front. And that was heavy ground as well, so I don't think, you know, real heavy ground is ideal for him. Bolt up a Kenton at Christmas and will have another run, but it's very unlikely to be in the Betfair hurdle. He looks like one that's just been brought along. He's got plenty of experience, and I'd say they'll be aiming to peak him for the Supreme. Wouldn't discount him now. Then you've got Boot Hill, a six-year-old, second and 2 points. Very impressive winner for Bumper Kenton. He ran all over, travelled all over them, picked up really nicely, won by four lengths. The second Bothwell Bridge won on his hurdles debut, was third to Brave Men's Game. It's rated 130. The third Valeris is rated 135. The fourth is rated 121. And even the fifth Press Your Luck is rated 130. He slammed them. So it was a really good bumper, I think. And he was miles the best. Was being aimed at kind of the ancient Punchtown bumpers last year. And that's why they didn't want to go to Cheltenham with him. Wasn't seen until winning on his hurdles debut at Taunton. Recently carrying 10 stone 12 in a time of 4 minutes 10 28 at Hull Street, when the other division of the bumper carrying a £6 penalty, about 3 seconds slower. So he's got loads of ability. You would want to see him at least once more before Cheltenham, but he's one to definitely keep in the back of your mind. I think he's got a load of ability. You could give small mentions too to Le Cain's article. He's 7, obviously not been the easiest to train, having issues. He won his points in April 2018. Joe Donnelly bought him in for 320 grand. Was off until December, winning a maiden hurdle at Newbury impressively. Don't think it was a very strong race, but he's got a little bit of an unknown about him. And obviously trained by Nicky Henson, you give him a bit of respect. And the other one I would mention, he's probably unlikely to go to Cheltenham unless the ground came up soft or worse, but My Drogo is one that's impressed me. Only made his debut in a bumper at Cheltenham in October, second to I Am Maximus. Won his maiden hurdle at Newbury. When he beat Flinter Sacker, was fourth that day. Flinter Sacker obviously had a big, massive reputation. That's a race that's been a decent enough point for Cheltenham, that Newbury race. Bright Forecast won it. Lost in Translation, Boover Dare, Wild Blue Yonder, Puff and Billy. They all went to the Cheltenham Festival and ran really well. He then won the Grade 2 Supreme Trial at Ascot. Took a bit of tug most of the way around, but it was a strongly run race and he was very strong in the finish. He was getting £5 from Landinabo Lad, but I really like the way he did it. And I think he's got a horse with a load of ability. He's a big chasing type. He'll definitely be one for something like the Marsh Chase next year. But if the ground came up testing for the first day at Cheltenham and he was running, I wouldn't put a line through him at all.
Lovely stuff. Right, it's decision time then. Ruby, who wins the Supreme Novice Hurdle?
Oh, if you're offering me a ride now, Tom, I'd be going to appreciate it.
And Frank, if we're giving you a free bet right now on one horse, who's it going to be on in the Supreme?
I think, yeah, I suppose if you're looking at non-run or no bet, I'd probably pick My Drogo, because if the ground isn't suitable, he won't run and you'll get your money back. I just would mention one that we haven't mentioned that ran behind the pre-stated. Look, he'd have his work cut out to turn the form around, but a pre-stated might just be in a different league to most of these, and that's Kesk on Risk. at Christmas, Joseph O'Brien's runners were very badly out of form. A lot of them ran way below form. But I thought he ran okay. He travelled really well to the turn-in. And just when they picked up, he kind of got left flat-footed and ran on to be third. Look, he's beaten a long way. He's beaten 12 or 13 lengths or something. But I just thought if he got a bit of better ground and if Joseph's are back in a bit of form, which they are at the moment, I could see him running well if he took his chance. He's a big price at the moment as well. I think ranging between 20 and 33 to 1. Again, I think he's a horse with a lot of ability. If you go back to his bumper win, he easily beat the likes of Favre de Champdu and Gabinaco. Gabinaco was third last week in the Grade 1 Lawler's Nace. So he has plenty of ability, and I just wouldn't put a line through him either. But at the moment, a pre-state deserves to be favourite, and he's definitely the one to beat.
Lovely stuff. That is the Supreme in a nutshell. Onwards we go to the Ballymore. Ruby, one of the few times, but we're talking about confidence, and we know that day one, if you get a few winners in early, it can kind of help your confidence levels through the roof. And if you're going out on a good one in the Ballymore in the past, like, do you think you're riding a lot better if you have those few wins under your belt, if you're chasing it a little bit less, if that makes sense?
I don't know, Tom. I think you have to ride each race and each horse in Cheltenham for what they are. You can't ride the occasion or worry about the past. The past is history. So you kind of have to keep looking, I suppose, to each race and try and keep yourself where you are and be present. I mean, of all the horses I won on, I suppose the one I was least confident going out on was probably 5 for 3. He'd only had the one run over hurdles, so it was hard to know whether he had the experience or whether he was going to be good enough. Wednesday was called off because of the wind, and he should have ran on the Wednesday. He ended up running on the Thursday. But look, you just have to go out and ride as if yesterday didn't happen. And you can't go out there too confident either, because you had two winners on the first day and then you don't concentrate enough on the first race on the Wednesday. Cheltenham is race by race. When one is over, move on to the next one. And that's how disciplined you kind of have to try and keep yourself. But I suppose, look, yeah, Faheen was rock solid. York Hill, Mikael Dagenet, they were all fairly solid horses. And I suppose 5 for 3 was probably the surprise one.
This year's renewal, Ruby, Brave Man's Game tops the betting for Paul Nicholls. And Paul has never won this race. Is it just as simple as the reason why he's never had the right horse?
No, he should have won it. I gave them a balls of a ride. He should have won. I didn't go fast enough on him, and he was quite wayward, and the occasion got to him, but I still wasn't brave enough on him. I should have just let him off and let him roll. But look, that can't be changed. So Brave Man's Game, yeah, he was very good in Newbury, Tom, and you'd have to like what you saw. He doesn't particularly remind me of Denman. Denman, as a novice hurdler, was quite keen and forward going. Brave Man's Game is a very relaxed horse, but potential-wise, who knows what he could be. I'm a big fan of Bob Olinger's. I thought he was good in Ace. I loved him in Navan. He was second to Fernie Hollow. There's so much to like about him. Gallard de Menil was very good in the Maiden Hurdle at Christmas. What he beat, that's probably very questionable. And he did finish second to Henry's horse in Holy Macaponi on debut. You know, Holy Macaponi is a huge price at the bombing out in Navan. Galliard de Mesnil is a Maiden Hurdle winner. So for me, he has to go and do a bit more. Blue Lord was too keen in Ace in his last start. Cape Gentleman is a dark one for Emmett Mullins, probably has a squeak. But yeah, look, I like what I see of Bob Olinger. I think the race will suit him. I think he stays well. I think he'll jump better with more runs, and yeah, I like him.
Right, oh, a quick look at the market. Brave Man's Game at the time of recording is the 4-1 joint favourite with Appreciated. That's non-runner money back, of course. Bob Olinger is 9-2. Gaillard de Menil is 7-1. 10s Metier, 12s Balliad, and Bear Grylls is 12s as well, alongside the Real Deal. Ashdale Bob is 14s alongside Boot Hill, 16-1 and bigger the rest. Frank, I suppose, in terms of, again, we'll ask a similar question, in terms of the book and Andy Post, anything standing out in terms of big liabilities for Paddy Power at the moment, and any bets on any of the big guns at really fancy prices or anything like that?
Yeah, so basically, while we would be looking at the Supreme now, you'd be already happy with it. The Ballymore less so. Our Antipost book, Bob Ollinger, Big Loser, as is Brave Man's Game, and Appreciate It. Look, Appreciate It, unlikely to run here, unless, you know, I don't know what circumstance we'll see him run here. But then their non-runner Money Back book, the two big losers are Blue Lord and Bob Ollinger. So basically Bob Ollinger is a big loser in both. But people were backing Bob Ollinger at 25-1 for this, as was Brave Man's Game at 25. So there's a lot of people sitting on very nice dockets, particularly when you consider the Ballymore is a race where the market doesn't get it too far wrong either. In the last 10 years, the SP of the winner has been 4-7, 8-1, 8-11, 14-1, 3-1, 9-2, 6-4, 7-2, 2-1, and 7s. So only the one double figure winner in that period. And you're kind of looking behind Brave Man's Game and Bob Ollinger, and even trying to just identify potential runners, it's not that easy. You think Gallard and Meneal probably would run, potentially Cape Gentleman, Ashdale Bob, Bear Gills. Like, it's not massive. There's definitely potential for the two of them to shorten up a bit more. This might well only be like a 9 or 10 runner race. And yeah, I wouldn't be overly hopeful that we'd get both Brave Man's Gale and Bob Ollinger beaten.
Could we maybe just reflect on a recent race that we had in Ireland last weekend, the Moscow Flyer? And it was a very strange race, Frank. Well, not strange, but just Echoes and Rain went off like the clappers, and they all maybe gave themselves a good bit to do. Like, they got there in the end, but there was a lot of tired horses, and Dreal Deal was racing out the back and just came and did them all. Would you be impressed by that performance, or do you see the race just maybe collapsing because of that pace angle a little bit? Or what did you think of it?
It was just a very, first of all, to price it, it was very tricky. There was three of us priced it, and we were all quite different. To give an example, our 100% prices on the Real Deal ranged from 11-2 to 20-1. I'm not ashamed to say I was the person who was 20-1. I thought he had it all to do to win the race. I thought, like, he was only coming from winning a handicap, albeit, you know, absolutely hacking all over them off a mark of 111. And I just thought he was going to have to run to a mark of at least 146 or 7 to win that race. And I just thought he had a lot to prove. Now, he did go for an unmerciful walk in the market just before the off. But then when you look at the timing, you look at the finishing speed percentage, they've just gone too hard. And even though Echoes of Rain was a little bit clear, I have a feeling that maybe the effort some of the others made in trying to close her down left them a bit vulnerable at the finish. And I would say if you ran it again and there was a little bit more even pace, that the second is probably the best horse in the race. That's what I would think. The Real Deal just basically was ridden cold and picked them all up. And I think his price for the Supreme and Ballymore is about 20s for both. Maybe a tiny bit shorter for the Ballymore, 12. That represents his chance. Even to me, 12-1 for the Ballymore, I wouldn't want to back that now, to be honest.
That brings me nicely on to my next question, because Ruby, I was going to ask you of other Willie Mullins contenders, could we then, on the back of Frank's summation of the Moscow Flyer, kind of maybe mark up Ganapathy and Power of Paws a little bit, because they had a lot to do and ultimately just ran out of petrol?
I don't. I see it a bit differently to Frank. I think when you look at the rating of the Real Deal yesterday, lined up in Punchestown, rated 141, and he gets up close home to win by, what did he win by?
Three lengths
and a length and a half. That's 4.5 lengths with a rating of 141, and the third horse is rated 136, racing off levels. To me, that's a clear indication of the race. That you can break it down to finishing speeds and percentages and where the pace was, and adding all that you want to add into it. The handicapper basically got it right. And that, to me, puts Ganapathy about 139, 140 rated horse. And I don't think that's enough to win the Ballymore.
And would he be maybe the best of Willie's contenders to go for the Ballymore, maybe?
No, I'd still be hoping that you'd be hoping that Gallard and Meneal can improve off his win at Leopardstown over 2.5 miles. Maybe even Statler might improve But I don't think a rating of 140 is going to do. I no chance. You're talking 154, 5, somewhere around there is the ability of horse you're going to need. And I don't think whatever way they ran the race yesterday, you can find 14 pounds in Ghana Petit. I think still think there's untapped potential with Gallard and Menil and Statler. But I don't see where Ghana Petit finds it, to tell you the truth.
Lovely stuff. You already mentioned a couple of interesting names. Cape Gentleman could be an interesting one. High Class off the flat. And you've
I think the one of Willie's we missed was Fighter Allen. I thought he was good in the maiden hurdle in Punchestown. He obviously bombed out in Navan as well the same day as Holy Macaponi. And I think that they're two horses who, if they hadn't ran in Navan and both pulled up, so both obviously way underperformed, I think they're two horses that have been overlooked here, Holy Macaponi and Fighter Allen.
Interesting. Righto, time to nail your colours to the mast. Frank, we'll start with you. What wins the Ballymore?
I'd probably side with Bob Hollinger on what he's done. Would I want to back him now at 9-2? Again, it's not my type of anti-post bet. I can see him being shorter on the day. There's two that interest me from a non-runner money back perspective. The first is Bear Gills, for Nicky Martin. This horse, unbelievably impressive winning war at Bumper by 19 lengths. And that form is solid. The second Guard Your Dreams won a relatively valuable handicap hurdle at Sandown on Talbert Day off a mark of 128. The fifth, Bob Hope or No Hope, is 2/2 over hurdles and looks a useful stare. He then beat Make Me a Believer very easy in hurdles debut at Linkfield, despite trying to take the last hurdle home with him. Make Me a Believer won a novice hurdle at Cheltenham over 2 miles, was only beaten half a length in the grade 2 Leamington novices hurdle at Warwick at the weekend. So it's really solid form. Even the third, Take Your Time, won very easy in his next start at Linkfield. It was third off a mark of 124 and a very useful Wincanton handicap, the sizable Sam one. He wasn't as impressive at Fast Last, dropped to 2 miles when winning under a penalty. He was made to work hard by a Nigel Twiston Davis newcomer, I think Gow Road, but he did win in the end and then made his handicap debut at Exeter, was it last week, off a mark of 130 over 2 miles, 2 furlongs, absolutely bolted up despite not jumping brilliantly. He's a serious engine. They said that the aim is the Ballymore for him. We're 12-1 non-runner money back. He's as big as 25s out there. He'd be one I'd definitely be consider backing. He's got a right engine if he can learn to jump. And the other one I just mentioned is Gentleman's Game for Mouse Morris. Mouse Morris has a relatively good record in the race. He won it with First Lieutenant. He was second with Rule of the World. I remember Van Almar placed as well in the Ballymore. It might have been actually when 5-3 won it. This horse, Gentleman's Game, won a point in October. Robcor paid $250,000 for him. Bolted up a Cork over 2 miles. Don't know what strength and depth there was that race. I think Willie, the horse in there, beginning with G, I can't remember now, that pulled really hard.
Jumi.
Yeah, didn't get home. But I was really taken with the way Gentleman's Game won. And I see he's entered in the grade 1 over 2 miles and 6 furlongs at the Dublin Racing Festival. And if he won that, it'd just be interesting to see where he'd go. They have, the owners obviously have Bob Anger as well. Where they'd run two in the same race, I'm not sure. But Gentleman's Game's a horse to definitely put in your tracker and keep an eye on.
Lovely stuff for Ruby.
I think Bob Ollinger, if you're offering me a ride for an anti-post bet, I just can't see why there's such a difference between Galliard and Menil and Holy Macaponi on price. I think Holy Macaponi clearly was something wrong with him in Navan the last day. And with non-runner, no bet, I had to get 25-1 every chance in him.
Non-runner, money back, Ruby. Money back.
Same thing.
Here at Paddy Power, we want our gambling to be fun and encourage our customers to bet responsibly. That's why we offer a number of tools to help you stay in control, including the ability to set deposit limits, get reminders after a certain amount of time playing, and to take breaks. For more information, visit responsiblegaming.paddypower.com. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Righto, that is the Ballymore in a nutshell. Let's round things off with the Albert Bartlett. On Friday at the Cheltenham Festival. Ruby, one of the few races that managed to elude you at the Cheltenham Festival.
Should have fucking won it though.
You got close.
I did, yeah. Moving swiftly on.
But even Willie struggled to win it for a while, but he's got a pretty strong record in it now.
Once he got rid of me, he was flying. Penhill and Bunfish. Yeah, once I got out of the way, I was the hindrance for him. Hard race, Tom. Hard race, got a handle on. Willie has Statler, maybe one or two more. I don't really know. No, Statler would look our obvious one, I think, at the minute. He does want soft ground, though. And because I know it's a race that traditionally you wanted a horse that had plenty of runs for it. Now, Monkfish and last year's renewal of the race kind of was different with the winner and the profile of the first couple home. But prior to that, you did need the horses with plenty of runs. Minilane, though, and Monkfish being the two exceptions. But top Barbados Bucks did it well in Kempton last week. Top Farouk Delen did well to hang on in Limerick over Christmas. Fakira has been many people's tip for the race for a long time. I thought maybe Queen's Brook, if there was a dig in the ground, she looks like a mare that's crying out for this kind of trip. She's been running over shorter and she's a few runs under her belt now, which might help her. But I thought it was a very open race. And I thought the horse of Tom Lacey's that won in Warwick the other day, Admiral, was one you could put into your notebook for this too.
Yeah, Farouk Delen, Ruby, would you give that a shout as well? Or?
Has a squeak, kept going in Limerick to hang on and win the race that the big horse that Davy Russell rode last year runs in the Stayers Hurdle, won the race in Limerick. Faheem won it in the past. Yeah, he could have a shout, but I think this is the most. I thought the Ballymore is open, but I think this is even more open.
A quick word on what else Willie might run. Could N'Golo go here? Or?
I'd be surprised if he goes all the way from 2 miles to 3 miles with him. He could, but I'd be surprised if he did that. You would imagine he'd step up at least to 2.5 miles before you go all the way from 2 to 3. Outside of that, don't think we have much, Tom.
Frank, this is a funny race. It throws up funny results. It's a lot of people say, Ruby mentioned it there, you need the horse that has a good few runs under its belt. You don't want any sign of weakness. They need to be tough and stay galloping to get home here. But they don't necessarily need to be a superstar, do they?
No. So I have a little bit of stats, and we'll start with the SP of the last 10 winners. Last year, 5-1, 50-1, 33-1, 16-1, 11-1, 14-1, 33-1, 11-8, 7-1, and 15-8. So you can see you've got a wide range of prices. The 11-8 was at Fisher's Cross, and the 15-8 was Bobsworth. And then you're looking at the kind of number of runs that horse have had over hurdles prior to winning the Albert Bartlett. And again, the last 10 winners had 3 runs, 2 runs, 4 runs, 7 runs, 15 runs, 6 runs, 4 runs, 6 runs, and 3 starts. It's like, obviously, Monkfish and Nilindo kind of bucked the trend a little bit, being relatively unexperienced. Nilindo hadn't even won over hurdles. Most horses that won the Albert Bartlett, you know, had proved their stamina for 3 miles. It is relatively unusual that they haven't won over 3 miles. You know, Bobsworth, I think, hadn't won over three, but there's very few haven't. The Limerick race, the Farouk Delen, it's a very good guy to Cheltenham. You have Martello Tower, Penhill. Obviously, Faheem won the Ballymore. And there was something else.
Fury
as well.
Road was third last year. He won it last year.
Yeah, Fury Road. Like, so that is a very decent guide to the race too. At Cheltenham, the grade two over 3 miles is a decent guide to the race. It's just looking like if you can get a runner, if you can back a horse now that's definitely going to run in the day, I think you'd be very lucky not to be on a much bigger price, because even looking at the market, Bob Ongar won't run, Brave Man's Game won't run, Appreciate won't run. Not sure about Queen's Brook, Stargate, I'd be surprised. N'Golo, Gentleman's Game, Gallant Dominique. A lot of these won't run this race. So if you can just get a runner, you're going to be in a very good position. And I've been banging on about Fakira for a long time. I think he's crying out for 3 miles. I just love to be stepped up to 3 miles for his next start. He has the sort of profile of experience. He's had 3 runs in maiden hurdles between 2 miles and 2 miles two last season, was second in all 3 of them. He's had 3 runs this season. He won 2 of them, winning over 2 miles of fairness, beating Gabby Nacko. Gabby Nacko, as I've already said, finished third in the Lawlers and Ace there last week. He won the grade 3 Monksfield novice hurdle at Navan. Again, looking outpaced and then running on really strongly. to nail Fire Attack close to the line, and was then second to Ashdale Bob in a grade two at Navan over 2.5. Again, badly outpaced, about, you know, three out, and looked like he couldn't really tail off. The next thing, he ran out really strongly to finish second. Look, he was six legs behind Ashdale Bob. He was really well beaten. But to me, he's crying out for 3 miles. He has plenty of experience. A bit of better ground wouldn't harm him. And I'd assume that's where he's going to run. And at the moment, he's about the 20-1 mark. It's very appealing from a non-runner money back perspective.
Right. Oh, time for shouts in the Albert Bartlett. Ruby, we'll start with you.
It's impossible, Tom. I think, look, even listening to Frank and stats, look, Barbados books looks like he'd stay forever and then stay forever again. Watching him in Kempton last week. So, yeah, 12-1, he's probably a shout. I don't disagree with the Fakira opinion. Does he know? Definitely has to have a chance. And maybe the one that's completely forgotten about, who did win in Cheltenham already, was Make Good. And he won an Albert Bartlett trial. His runs in Ireland have been over 2 miles over hurdles, stepped up to 3 miles and absolutely bolted in December when he beat Pat's Fancy. So, like, at a ridiculous price, he might be one.
I think he's injured, Ruby.
We won't be going for him anyway.
Yeah.
Don't worry, you get your money back if he's
money back.
Injured.
Non-runner money back. That's the...
He is injured, so he's out for the season. John McConnell came out last week to say that. The only thing I would say about Make Good winning at Cheltenham was, particularly, might have said that the English staying novices mightn't be that good. I know Barbados Bucks won at Kempton. I didn't think it was much of a race. Like, him and Stafford.
I'm not going to disagree with you about the quality of the race. It was just the way he travelled, the way he went about the race, and his style of running suits distance races, that's all.
Yeah, it's just... I think the Irish are probably a bit stronger here, but I'd be very keen on Fakira at that sort of price anyway.
I'd say, listen to us, Tom, we're more interested in the other two novices.
Lovely stuff. Righto, well, given that we are building up to the Cheltenham Festival, we're going to throw up a few enhancements on site each week. So, Frank, I think you're going to arrange for us from... Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Appreciated Brave Man's Game and Fakira are all going to be enhanced respectively. So make sure you check out the Paddy Power app or paddypower.com to get involved with those prices if those horses take your fancy. Righto, that's it, folks. We hope you enjoyed our very first edition of the Countdown to Cheltenham. Remember, we're back each and every week in the run-up to Cheltenham. We'll be back every Wednesday next week. We're looking ahead to the novice chases. And if you've got any questions for the lads, make sure to get in touch on Paddy Power's social media channel. But, righto, between now and then, all I can say is my thanks to Frank Hickey, Ruby Walsh, and, of course, you for listening. I've been Tom Nugent. And that was the Countdown to Cheltenham, not quite from the horse's mouth.